Y'all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Katie Mox and Will Brinson here. I am obviously in a very good mood today. We are joined by our Pick Show squad, RJ White, and Prop Stars. Alex Selznick from Sportsline. Emery Hunt is at the Senior Bowl this week. So we have RJ filling us in for us today, which we appreciate. Thank you for your time, RJ. This episode of Pick Six is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. On the last episode, the Super Friends recapped the AFC and the NFC championship games. Breach, Wilson, and Brinson broke down Dan Campbell's aggressive calls and if it was the Ravens' game plan that set them up to fail against the Chiefs. You, of course, can catch that episode on our YouTube channel or anywhere that you get your podcast for the audio version. While you're there, make sure to hit the subscribe button, like, comment, do all of the things. All right. The Super Bowl is upon us. We've got the Chiefs and the 49ers. Quick thoughts on the game, RJ, on the two games.
Yeah, well, you know, surprising result in the Chiefs game. You should never be surprised that Patrick Mahomes wins a game, but yeah. We thought the Ravens would win that game. So kudos to them. I don't know what the Ravens coaching staff was thinking. It seemed like everything that they did right the week before, they did wrong this week. You know, give yourself a degree of difficulty to beat Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs is never a good thing. So they were unable to accomplish that, surprise, surprise, and get another Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in it. So as a Bills fan, I think our strategy should be to trade all of our assets for future draft picks, and then next year trade those picks for future draft picks, and just keep rolling it over until we get to 2036 or wherever Patrick Mahomes retires, and then we can, you know, rebuild there and try to go for a Super Bowl at that point.
He just stays ruining lives. I feel like he really is the new Tom Brady, where you think you have a shot, and then he comes in and just wins everything. We could look at the macro trends from championship weekend, but I'm not even sure that a lot of them apply because this Super Bowl matchup is basically a pick 'em. The line was 2.5. It's already moved down to 1 in some books. So let's just hop right into it. And Harry, will you throw up whatever the current odds are from FanDuel? Let's see, 1.5 49ers. Again, this opened up at 2.5. It's 1.5 on FanDuel. Some places it's already 1. So we're kind of down to a pick 'em. This total is 47.5. Brinson, any initial thoughts? I mean, for me, y'all know where my heart lies with this, but it's nearly impossible.
I don't know where the 2.5. I mean, I'm not doubting you. I'm sure like it actually happened. I never saw the 2.5, and we went live. Like right as the 49ers game ended, and we had 1.5 up there. So
it was, I can find it for you. Cause I feel like all the tweets, like right when the game ended, were like opening line and it got
I got an alert from CBS on my phone this morning. It was like line moves 1.5 overnight. I was like, oh my God, it's already down to a pick 'em as we predicted. And I was like, oh no, it's still 1.5. RJ, I'm curious what your power ratings would put this line at, you know, cause I think that there has to be some built-in, you know, like, here we go again with Mahomes, where the Chiefs were a 3 seed, Niners were a 1 seed, Chiefs were not as good as the Niners were all season long. And yet, it's like, if the Niners were -3 here, the entire world would hammer the Chiefs.
Yes. Yeah, and I think, you know, there were points of the season where you would have made this game 3, and I think the reason it got open 2.5 is a lot of, you know, leftover thinking of the strength of those teams during the season, but this isn't that point of the season. The Chiefs are playing a lot better than they were down the stretch, and I adjusted my ratings pretty heavily toward them the last 2 weeks, where I'd given them a pretty significant downgrade coming out of the end of the season where they didn't look very good. But that's all gone now because it's the playoffs and it's Patrick Mahomes, and the defense is incredible. Probably the best defense they've had during this stretch run.
Easily.
So yeah. I think you have to treat them like you would other Chiefs teams, where we've had them as a +9 team or maybe run a +10 team. And that's where I've had San Francisco for a lot of the season after the initial part of the season, where it just seemed like they were just going to keep winning games by double digits. But when you look back at the teams that they beat, you know, a lot of them, we thought they were better than they actually were. Teams like the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Jaguars. And when they're beating these teams by double digits, it's impressive, but it might not be as impressive. Then we get to the playoffs and they're just scraping by every week. So I had to adjust them down a little bit. So it's really just kind of like, I don't think there's any scientific way to put a rating on these teams, because you are obviously too low on the Chiefs, however you rated them a couple weeks ago, probably a little too high on the 49ers where you rated them 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And now you just have to determine how much you're adjusting each to make the line where it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if this is going to close as like a pick 'em, and it reminds me, I guess, prop. I said this last night, but it sort of reminds me of Super Bowl 49 with the Seahawks and the Patriots, where you have this NFC West team that's, you know, was the dominant team coming into the year, played really well all throughout the season. You know, you have a great defense. They've been close to, or the Seahawks have won the Super Bowl the year before and looked like they were starting a dynasty, but, you know, and the Niners, you know, made a deep run, made the NFC Championship game with no quarterback last year. A young quarterback on a rookie deal who wasn't taken with a first round pick, Russell Wilson, Brock Purdy, you know, great run game superstars, you know, Christian McCaffrey and Marshawn Lynch. You got the couple of wide receivers who probably fly under the radar a little bit and are like different style wide receivers. You know, Doug Baldwin, I don't know who your Debo Samuel is, but you know, you get the point. I mean, similarities at least to a degree. And then on the other side, you have this team that's won a bunch of Super Bowls and recently. Yeah, maybe not the best version of them, but they're here and they're terrifying. And it was the Patriots and the Chiefs. And I think, you know, you have a high total, 47.5. To me, this has some similarities to that game. And I think, you know, you see the money line, both money lines are minus money, you know? So I think it's kind of one where Vegas isn't even sure exactly how this is going to play out.
I would agree, Brinson. I think that's a very apt comparison as well. I certainly was sleeping on this Kansas City Chiefs team, despite, you know, backing them quite a bit towards the end of the season, but just been so impressive with their run through the playoffs, really just seeing them just such a balanced offense as well. Not something we're really used to with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid at the helm. Watching this ground game work, just again, then just having so much success against this Baltimore pass defense, which I really felt had been the best coverage unit in the NFL all season long. Patrick Mahomes just reminding us why he's, you know, certainly the best player of this era, potentially the GOAT. So, this Kansas City team, so impressive. I kind of feel like we have two teams heading in a little bit of opposite directions. Obviously, San Francisco, an exceptionally talented roster, really struggling, though, against Green Bay, and then Detroit kind of limping into this game a little bit, in my opinion. And then it's just hard to have confidence when we're comparing both quarterbacks. I would agree this is likely the best defense that Patrick Mahomes has had since he's been a member of the Chiefs as well. So I like the Chiefs quite a bit in this spot. I sincerely apologize, Katie, but yeah, just Kansas City played so well. Yeah.
Well, look, the Chiefs are the third team to reach 4 Super Bowls in a 5-year span. Patrick Mahomes will be the first quarterback ever to start
I mean, obviously the Patriots?
The 1990-93 Buffalo Bills and the 2014-2018 Patriots.
Isn't it crazy that it's not the original version of the Patriots who won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years? Yeah. That's bananas. Brady's like the second run for Brady, like, or actually technically Brady's third run of Super Bowls for it to happen. It's wild.
Yeah, they can become the first repeat Super Bowl champions too since that Patriots team.
Yeah, the 0102 Patriots.
Has the Super Bowl line ever crossed through zero? Is there a possibility that the Chiefs somehow become favored in this?
That's a great question. RJ may be best suited to answer that. I want to say that the answer is yes. And if I had to guess, I would say that it happened with the Broncos and the Seahawks. That game closed a pick 'em, I think, or maybe Denver minus one or Seattle minus one. I think it flip-flopped back and forth across zero, but never like a, you know, we've never seen a wild swing in the modern era, I don't think, from, you know, like a 3-3 or anything, you know, anything insane like that.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you for sure where you know, if there was movement back and forth to the point where both teams were favored at one point. I feel like probably hasn't happened, but we've definitely seen things around pick'em like that game, like the that Seattle New England game you were talking about, I believe was around one for most of the time there. So I don't know that we've seen it cross. I don't think that this one will cross. It possibly could get to pick 'em, but I don't think they would put the Chiefs as favored. It would take probably a lot of action for that to happen. So we'll see what happens when it gets to pick 'em, but it just, from my gut, it just feels like, you know, we're going to see the San Francisco either favored by a small margin or potentially close on pick 'em.
So it seems like everybody's early lean on this game is the Chiefs. I'm not going to say that because I can't and I won't, but
everybody's.
Yeah.
But dude, it's because it's like,
I get it. Like, I'm not, argument for me. No. And if this was last year, I said the same thing with the Eagles. You just can't bet against Patrick Mahomes in these spots. But again, everybody knows where my allegiance lies and I won't do it. But we are going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk Super Bowl MVP. We've got kind of our favorites. And then we also have a long shot. We're also going to look at 2025 Super Bowl because it's never too early. You're watching Pick Six. We'll be right back.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast. We cannot talk Super Bowl without hitting on some MVP odds. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into this and a lot of things can change. But when you just look at the odds here, I don't know if you want to throw up the MVP odds for us here. RJ, who would be your bet right now? Either, you know, maybe you don't want to go with a favorite, but who has the most attractive odds for you to bet MVP?
Yeah, typically we see a lot of action playing the quarterback MVP of the team you think is going to win. You're getting better value playing Mahomes at plus 130 than you would on the Chiefs money line. So that would be the logical thing to do. I think the better value is playing Kelce at 20-1, especially here. I've seen other odd sources where he's 11-1, 12-1. That seems more in line. I mean, Mahomes is MVP in both previous Super Bowls. You know, I think that is good value if you're going to play that rather than the money line. Kelce is having a big postseason, 3 touchdowns in his last 2 games, went 11 catches on 11 targets for 116 yards against a very good Baltimore defense. And then you get, you know, this is award voted by media members and people in the press box. And this isn't a computer picking the award of the best player. And you know, that narrative is going to come up, people in their minds, like, get Kelce the award, you know, get him on stage thanking Taylor Swift, what kind of content's going to come out of that big moment there for everyone. So I think the conspiracy theories might turn a little bit there. So maybe we can get a Taylor Swift viral moment if Kelsey's the MVP. So maybe that's going to play in mind a little bit, but of course he has to have the production to make it happen. So in terms of the around the favorites, the top two quarterbacks, the running the McCaffrey, obviously on the San Francisco side, and then the top chief, I think Kelsey's probably a decent value at 20-1. Once it gets to that 11 to 12 to 1 range, I'm not going to play it.
By the way, we're pointing out three Super Bowls. Shout out to Evan Abrams of Action Network, who noted that Chiefs and Eagles actually opened with the Chiefs as favorites, closed with the Eagles as favorites.
Okay.
Broncos, Seahawks flip-flopped, and Seahawks, Patriots also flip-flopped. So, three recent Super Bowls where the line crossed. And 49ers Chiefs, the original one might have moved across 0-2, but I mean, we're talking about like a max of like 3.5 points total in terms of crossing there.
But still, that's interesting. So it's possible that this one moves to favor the Chiefs, I guess, depending on the money. But like RJ said, that probably is unlikely. But the Taylor Swift angle that you just said is interesting because she's going to be in Japan. She's got four shows in Japan that end, I believe, on like Friday night in Japan. So she could somehow fly back and be there for the Super Bowl, get in like late Saturday night. But then she'd have to fly out again because she's got more shows in Japan. So we may not see Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl because you got to think.
Ian Rappaport reported on Sunday sources told him Taylor Swift will be in attendance. She's crossing. And I mean, it makes sense. Ian,
that's a good girlfriend. It's a good girlfriend. It's a really good girlfriend. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Rap Sheet works for the NFL. Like, you know, if you're trying to like source guess here, it's not like Taylor Swift like sent him a text and was like, I'm coming back. The NFL would make, you know, would have to deal with like, you know, certain security stuff. If celebrities are coming to the Super Bowl, I mean, the NFL is aware of it. So, I mean, like she's going to leave, she's going to cross the international dateline and leave it like, fly on a private jet from Tokyo to Vegas and attend the Super Bowl.
I don't know if y'all have been to one of her concerts, or I haven't actually been to one of the recent ones, but she doesn't take a break. She goes the full 3 hours the whole time. So to do 4 hours of that four days back to back, and then to fly across, like you just said, go to the Super Bowl and then fly back and do four more shows. I don't know why she gets so much hate. That is a down girlfriend.
She's this generation's Bruce Springsteen for sure. So what a monumental loss that would be if she wasn't able to attend the Super Bowl. I'm glad to learn that she is. So feel a lot better moving forward. And for Kelsey's,
Awesome for CBS part. Yeah, absolutely. Like I don't know what the ratings are going to be for the Chiefs Ravens game. I think it'll be a lot lower than Chiefs Bills. I guess. I don't know. I mean, 56 really? Million is tough to beat. It just wasn't.
Game would have less than a divisional round,
only because it was like the finale. Excuse me, only because it was the final game of Sunday, and it was a closer game. I think.
Okay.
56 million is a lot. That's a big boy.
It's a lot. It was misreported in some places, but I'm glad that Brinson, you were on it.
That's right. I'm all over you, Floria. looking at the MVP odds. Let's see. I mean, I think that if you're like, I'm curious what you guys think about, you know, RJ's correlation thing with the quarterback, and you know, you have Brock Purdy at +210. It feels like the 49ers are much, much more likely to have an MVP from not the quarterback than the Chiefs would be, right?
Of course. I find Debo at 38-1 very attractive personally for an array of reasons. First and foremost, Debo, just his versatility, his ability to impact the game, both as a receiver, as a running back, his yards after a catch ability. I think there's some built-in narrative as well with him overcoming injuries, you know, being kind of a not expected to even potentially not even expected him to play yesterday, and then ended up having obviously a very good game offensively. Similarly against the Chiefs, I could really see the game plan being built around Debo. So I think at 38-1 wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if the 49ers did in fact win, that Debo had a very large impact on the game. And then if he was able to impact the game as both a rusher and a receiver, pick up a lot of tough yards after the catch, make some highlight reel plays where tacklers are bouncing off of him because he's obviously Debo I think he is very attractive at those odds.
Yeah, you know, with the thing with Debo too, like I'm actually shocked, and I think now, you know, we talk about early odds, and we're just under 2 weeks away from the Super Bowl, but it's really surprising that Debo, Pacheco, Brandon Ayuk, these guys are all north of 35-1. I mean, this is one of those spots where with these futures, the books have been burnt so many times that it wouldn't be shocking to see them like down at, like, I would, if you told me Debo is 15-1, I wouldn't be shocked, just the way that we see these futures sort of priced. So I think this is a sort of a market where, you know, if you're betting on these FanDuel odds, go ahead and get them in now, because 38-1, that's not going to go north unless Debo's injured. And to Prop's point, if you know, we saw against the Packers before he got hurt, Debo was the focal point of the game plan. The script was a Debo script. And then we saw in the second half, to get the offense going, yesterday, it was a Debo game plan. Get the ball in Debo's hands. And you saw him. He was like, the first big play he had, he said, you know, like, let's get going. Like, let's run to a huddle, because he was seeing some stuff on the defense that he liked. And he felt like that tempo was going to push the Lions defense. It did. And I'd have to go back and look from the Super Bowl in 2020. My God, that feels like
it was right before COVID. Literally a different world.
A different world. That's right. Looking at the 49ers and Chiefs game from that year, man, Debo, 9 targets against the Chiefs. Obviously a different Chiefs team, but not that different. You know, similar setups in terms of their offense and their defense in terms of the personnel. Debo also had 3 carries for 53 yards in that game. And so if you're talking about a situation where Debo's going to get close to double-digit targets and get 5-plus carries in the game, he could easily rip off a touchdown. If he does that and the Niners win, I think 38-1 is a really good value.
So are you liking Debo too?
Yeah, I would agree. I think Debo is an excellent value. I think he's got a great chance to, again, be the focal point of the game plan. I think that's sort of why the 49ers, preserve Debo, are for these big, high-leverage situations. So I expect, if they do win, him to have a lot of success, and that obviously correlates with potentially having a chance at winning the award. I would also add there is some massive disparities between the odds book to book to book. So I would certainly take a gander and be aware of the various odds across all these different books, specifically for this award category.
Yeah, you're getting good value on Purdy if the San Francisco wins compared to their money line. But I think the key value there is that if San Francisco does win, it's going to be a lot in the run game. And, and you talk about Samuel, I mean, they could spread it around to a lot of different passing game targets, but the running game is going to be really keyed by McCaffrey. So, knowing that him to score a touchdown is, I think, -230, in this game. It feels like he's definitely going to score. You know, people are expecting him to score. If he gets a couple of them, it's going to be pretty easy to give him the award. What do you think, Katie?
I agree with you. I guess I'm the only one that's going chalk here, but I like Christian McCaffrey just based on everything that you said. The way that you can beat this Chiefs defense is on the ground game. And we saw Baltimore basically abandon that in the second half, and look where it ended them up. Someone like Christian McCaffrey, 2 touchdowns yesterday. He's just a beast, and he's the workhorse, and they just give him the ball so much that if they are to beat the Chiefs, I think it's going to be a Christian McCaffrey game. So if you are going to go with the favorites, then I'm just going right outside of the quarterbacks. I'll go Christian McCaffrey +480. But then when looking at these more longer shot ones, like, I know you guys like Debo, and I don't disagree with anything that you said about Debo, especially in the second half. He is the reason that offense started going. But I kind of also like George Kittle. He's +7,500. You've seen those clips going around on, and again, obviously I'm skewed 49ers here, but you've seen those clips going around on social media where it was the last Super Bowl and Kittle's there. He's like, I will be back here. I will be back here with a vengeance. You're not going to get the best of me. And there's a huge chunk of 49er players that were on that 2019 team that want this revenge. And if you look at the Chiefs defense, who has been amazing, right? The pass defense has been locked down, but they have been slightly vulnerable to tight ends this season. They allowed an average of 9 yards after catch to tight ends during the regular season. So I wouldn't be surprised either if George Kittle comes up and has a big game, because we do know that the Chiefs can create pressure too up front. And whenever that pocket starts to collapse, I feel like Purdy just looks for George Kittle. So that would be my long shot.
On the long shot front, I'm going with Pacheco at 40-1 here. It just seems like San Francisco has had a lot of trouble defending the run lately. And they're going to throw everything at stopping Patrick Mahomes. I mean, they've seen him before in the Super Bowl. Everybody knows what he's capable of. So I think when you do that, it's going to open things up for Pacheco to hit big runs. And he's the type of runner who's shown that, you know, the first guy is going to bring him down a lot of the time. So he could shake off some a would-be tackler, and with, you know, other guys covered or not a lot of guys around him, get these 20, 30 yard runs that helps him put up a big number here. He's had a rushing touchdown in all three playoff games. His efficiency was down against Baltimore's defense, but he did add a little bit as a receiver, which he hadn't done the last few games. So with San Francisco giving up three rushing touchdowns against Detroit, this feels like a path where Pacheco's numbers could be similar to McCaffrey, who is, plus 480, and you're not going to have the receiving numbers probably, but rushing wise, would not shock me if he had the same volume, a volume or even better volume as McCaffrey, and then yardage and touchdowns be equal to McCaffrey. And if the Chiefs win, he should be in that conversation too. So I like him. I think this is also a random game where you can pick a 49ers defender and say, if they win the game, they've shut down Mahomes and done a good job defending Mahomes. So a random Fred Warner, 10 tackles and a fumble return for touchdown, Dre Greenlaw, one of those type of guys just to make a big play and key a 24-10 San Francisco win. And they're going to look for somebody to give it to on defense. So if you pick your favorite 49ers defender, I don't hate that either.
Yeah. I mean, I think especially when you factor in like just how many different weapons the 49ers have, it is absolutely a possibility for that to happen. Speaking of early leans, this is why not? Let's get ridiculous. 2025.
Wow.
Super Bowl matchups. I mean, let's really get weird. 2025 Super Bowl odds, and they've wisely marked the 49ers and the Chiefs at 2025 on here on FanDuel, because Lord knows there would be somebody who would miss 2025, would think they were getting the Chiefs at 8.5-1 to win the Super Bowl this year, and would feel very, very stupid, because you could obviously profit if you bet the 49ers at 4.5-1 and the Chiefs at 8.5-1 to win the Super Bowl this year. You can't do that. Niners are the favorite to win the Super Bowl next year. They haven't even played the Super Bowl this year. Ravens right after them at 7-1. Chiefs 8.5-1. Let's keep scrolling down, please. Let's Bills 12-1. Cowboys 15-1. Bengals 15-1. Katie, why don't you start us off with your Super Bowl matchup for 2025?
So I'm going back to the 49ers, just because Purdy's so cheap, and so they're going to be able to hold on to some of these players, and they have gone to the NFC Championship game 3 years in a row. Definitely the Rams have gotten better and will probably get better next year. But again, like, this is a team that has a chance to at least get to the NFC Championship game every year. So out of the NFC, I do still like the 49ers. And then I'm going with the Bengals, who are at plus 1500. I was on the Bengals this year. Might have been just a year too early for it. Obviously the Joe Burrow injury really hurt them, but even with him out, they were doing pretty good with that. What was the backups? I'm forgetting the backup. Jake Browning. Was that his name?
Yep.
Jake Browning. So Niners Bengals is where I'm going. What do you think, Prop?
I'm going to say go out on a little bit of a limb here. I like potentially a battle of Texas. I'm going to go Cowboys versus the Houston Texans. I think a lot of that's applicable, as you mentioned, to Purdy being on the roster, enabling San Francisco to have a very talented, deep roster. I think we're going to continue to see this Texans roster improve across the board. CJ Stroud just coming off of such a wonderful rookie season, just looked like a multiple-year veteran. I think the Texans are going to continue to amass talent and continue to build on how much success they had. And then I think the Cowboys will be back in the playoffs, and this could be potentially their year at 15-1 odds. So I'll go for the Battle of Texas, the Texans and the Cowboys.
I like that. Spicy.
What say you, RJ?
25-1 odds, though, for Texans. That seems... I need a better price than that.
Agreed. It's not the best price.
The Texans. So I would wait and see if things shift around. If I can get them around 35-40-1 later in the offseason.
They're 4-7 this year. Like, you might be getting midseason next year.
All they need is a slow start next year too, and you're going to have 75-1 at some point. So, which I was able to get this year. So, I think on the AFC side,
it's hard.
I had Texans 75-1 at some point. Yeah. obviously it doesn't matter at this point, but you take the value where you can get it. But on the AFC side, I'm going Chiefs again, 8.5 to 1. I mean, why are they lower odds than the Ravens? I don't know. When they have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, when they have proven they don't need Tyreek Hill to get to the Super Bowl twice now. So I don't know what you're going to
look for Tyreek Hill.
I don't know what you're going to do to stop them at this point. And I understand why the 49ers are such heavy favorites, because the NFC is easier to get through than the AFC. But, you know, that was supposed to be the case this year. And Chiefs had no problem knocking down the Bills, knocking down the Ravens, getting back to the Super Bowl. So 8.5 to 1 seems great value on the Chiefs. And the NFC, I'm going to go back to Alex and I's favorite team from this offseason, the Seattle Seahawks. And it's just 75 to 1. It just, those odds are too juicy to ignore for me. That's the same odds as the Bucks. Admittedly got to the playoffs this year. I don't know that they have a Super Bowl upside, though. Same odds, it's Arizona, New Orleans, teams I don't love that much.
Worse odds,
I'm just talking NFC teams. Worse odds than Atlanta at 50 to 1. Worse odds than Minnesota, Chicago at 40 to 1, which I like them better than both of those teams. There's just so much young talent on both sides of the ball in Seattle that they've built up the last few years. Didn't quite come together this year. I think a coaching change erases their upside. As great a coach as Pete Carroll has been in his career, I think you get one of these two, it seems like the leading finalists there, Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, the two big coordinators for the teams that just lost. And you get in there, I think it raises the upside for that team. So if you can make it work there, Geno Smith has shown he's capable of playing at a high level. Maybe they find another answer this offseason at quarterback, who knows? But there's just so much talent there that I think they could return to the playoffs, and they should be a lot lower odds than some of these other teams we're seeing. So I'm going to back them at 75 to 1 as my best value, even if I wouldn't necessarily pick a Chiefs Seahawks Super Bowl at this point of the offseason right now.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. The 8.5 to 1. Look, I mean,
hard to say no.
You know, we were talking about Peter Schrager correctly picking the Super Bowl winner 5 years in a row, and now he's got both. He had the Chiefs and the Niners in the Super Bowl again this year. I mean, I'm not knocking Schrager here at all, but like, two or three of them are the Chiefs, right? I mean, so like, this is, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you're picking somebody from the AFC to make the Super Bowl, the Chiefs are a good bet, because they've been to four of the last five. Was it four of the last six or four of the last five?
Four of the last five.
Mahomes has been to four Super Bowls in his 6 years as a starter, and the two he did go in, he lost on that weird play where who was the pass rusher that was offsides?
You're talking about the Tom Brady
Patriots in the AFC Championship game in
D Ford?
D Ford, yeah. D Ford was lined up offsides. They lose by 6 points. And then they lose to they lose by 7 points, whatever it was. And then they lose by like 3 points to the Bengals at home in the AFC Championship game. Like, he could have easily been to the Super Bowl every single year that he's been the starter in Kansas City. It's just ridiculous. They're like, it's insane. Yeah. And so, 8.5 to 1. Sure. Why not? And then on the other side, you know what I'm taking. The Los Angeles Football Rams.
Oh, yes. Matt Stafford.
30 to 1.
Of course.
There you go. Down there quick. 30 to 1 feels like, okay, so for instance, 30 to 1, you are in the same division as the Niners. That's a problem. But, You know what? I'm going to bail on my Chiefs pick. I'm going to go LA. Give me Rams Chargers.
Oh,
Jim Harbaugh, Super Bowl first year. 30 to 1. Back those two teams. And you get there, you got a 30 to 1 locked in. LA versus LA. Jim Harbaugh is going to have this team.
Yeah, some inner city battles, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talk about in the offseason about how much coaching matters and that it gets underrated and with a lot of the teams we pick. And I feel like that is a massive upgrade at coach for what Brandon Staley has done and what we've seen Jim Harbaugh do at every stop. You know, we saw what he did with the 49ers earlier in his career. So it just seems like with that talent at quarterback, if they can figure it out cap-wise, I know they're going to lose some players there. I mean, they could quickly challenge the Chiefs in that division. And I hate to say it, because every time we see them, it seems like they're vulnerable. You know, they go out and win 14 games or whatever. But it's going to be very interesting that they could get in with a wild card, and then the Harbaugh match could do its thing. And you could see a little LA Super Bowl.
Love that.
Would be fun. Love Harbs. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's got anticipation plays. Because there's only one game left. It's crazy. We're going to do those after the break. Next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, the time has come for our anticipation plays, and there's only one game to do it. It's the Super Bowl. So where do we think these lines are going for Chiefs and 49ers? We will try to predict where it goes and how it moves. And this anticipation play segment is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. If we look at last week, Emery had said the Niners -7 would move to 5.5. That did not happen. Alex said the total would move from 51 to 50. I mean, I think it was like 50. I don't know. I guess 51.5. I said Ravens 3.5, Ravens 3. What did that little? No, that was 4.5. It went the, yeah, we're all wrong last night or last week. All absolutely wrong. Kind of like the pick six parlay. We get the anticipation plays right a lot more than the parlay is, but, RJ,
I might have gone 0-6 on my bets last week, so that's exciting.
Oh God,
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know what I? Yep.
RJ, I was saying same was wrong a lot last week.
Yeah. I mean, I was like,
producer Noah texted me with a emoji today. I was like, what is he doing? Oh, I was like, oh, those are from my bets. That's not great.
I was on the Ravens. I was on the Lions under on their team total. Yeah, so
I had Christian McCaffrey anytime touchdown 10-unit whale play, though. So that hit. That's good.
10-unit whale play. RJ, what do you anticipate happening in this game?
Yeah, so we know what happens in Super Bowls. People like to bet the underdog to win and the favorite to cover. And so you get these out-of-whack kind of money lines for the favorite. So I anticipate the money line going down a little bit off-kilter. You'll be able to get pretty good odds just on the money line for the favorite here and playing the 49ers that way. It kind of decouples from the spread sometimes. And you're kind of seeing it right now at FanDuel where they're the one book that still has it at 1.5, as we showed earlier. But the money line, I think you're probably getting your best price on the 49ers already money line at -112 right there. So, you know, that's kind of the thing to keep an eye on and anticipate happening is that the spread in money lines decouple a little bit with so much action coming on this game, particularly toward the end of that second week as you're getting closer to the game.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to argue with that point that they often don't align on these Super Bowls. Prop Stars, what have you got?
I would argue last night, if you'd like Kansas City to jump on that 2.5, RJ and I had had a brief conversation how we were hoping that we had the ability to do that. So, yeah, I think ultimately this game will close as a pick'em. So I will say, yeah, that's the direction I think we're moving towards.
I'm saying the same direction, but I'm going to say that it crosses through zero. Say it's the fourth time that this happens and the Chiefs will be favored -1. And then I will take the point with the 49ers.
I think the same thing. I also tend to think that the total will scoot up a little bit and then come back down right before game time. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I see a prop nodding, and RJ, you can tell me if historically I'm wrong there, but obviously people want to bet the over with the Super Bowl. Nobody wants a low scoring game. You can oftentimes, it's like Super Bowls tend to be a little lower scoring most of the time because it's such a big moment. First half Super Bowl is very low scoring. Yep. And I think this will scoot up to like 48.5 and then end up closing at like 46.5 would be my guess. So I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I'm less esoteric play, I would say look for the total to go up. I'm not looking to bet it now because I want to play the under. So I'm waiting for it to go up. And I'm looking at what Katie just said, that first half under with a game that starts slow. Right now it's 23.5. I would love it if it peaked out over 24.5 and be able to play the under 24.5 at some point. So that's what I'm going to be looking for, is if we get to 24.5 on a first half under, I'm going to bang that.
The 49ers are going to have to show up the defense in the first half in order for that to hit. Otherwise, it could get out of hand. But that is going to wrap up our anticipation plays segment brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. And that is going to be our early leans show for the Super Bowl. Super early leans, because we're
for
about
the season.
For the season. Yes.
It is. Oh, your team's in the Super Bowl. You're not. Don't act sad.
All right. Yeah, I mean,
I'm not. You're like that. You had 2 weeks of celebrating the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and then insane anxiety all night Sunday after you weasel your way into the stadium. By the way,
by crook. Yeah.
Worth noting, we had this discussion last night.
Who?
Ebo last year bought a ticket to go to the Super Bowl because he was in
Phoenix.
Phoenix, yes, thank you. Bought a ticket to go, and Breach did the same thing out in L.A. when the Bengals were there.
Yeah, how much were their tickets? Because last year they dropped down to like $3,500.
Debo gave a very quick no. And then Breach said it was worth it because he was like, Bengals hadn't been, hadn't been like in my lifetime.
It's only worth it if they win. If they win, it's no money in the world could amount to this. And then if they lose, you're like, I can't believe I spent that much money to have my heart broken in person.
I think it was like $3,000. You probably benefit from the fact that it's Kansas City again. Yeah, we talked about this with the tickets. Like, I mean, again, like four of the last five Super Bowls the Chiefs have been in. So unlikely that. I mean, like, it's just less likely that fans are going to keep coughing up money to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
If I'm paying $3,000 to go to a football game, even the Super Bowl, you better put me in the box next to Taylor Swift. That's the only way that experience is worth it at $3,000. Otherwise, I'm watching.
Whatever. I mean, we'll figure it out. But it will be very fun to be in Vegas covering the Super Bowl for CBS. My first time with CBS fully. It's our it's our Super Bowl, and then my team is in it. So very, very special. And we will hope for the best. But that's going to close it out for our show. Thank you, fellas. Make sure you join us all week long for more coverage. Tomorrow, Brinson Breach are joined by Pete Prisco to go over some off-season storylines to watch. You're not going to want to miss that one. One last reminder, show us some love, like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube or on our audio pages. We love y'all. Thank you for hanging with us. And this is our last early leans show, but we have more shows coming forward to the Super Bowl. See ya.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.